Now, November 30th marks the Remembrance Day for Lost Species, a day where the international community is able to organise events in the honour of species no longer on our planet. The day gives us a chance to commemorate the loss of biodiversity, and as Australia has one of the highest loss of species anywhere in the world, there is a lot of work to be done to ensure animals on the endangered list don't cross over into the realm of extinction. Julia Petty, the organiser of the Thylacine Remembrance event in Mullaney, Queensland, begins this report by Joe Koning.
The last 59 days of Benjamin's life, he enjoyed protection, full legal protection as an endangered species. He died of exposure because he was so poorly looked after, and he was locked out of his cage at night in Tasmania and died on September the 7th, 1936.
That was Julia Petty, and she's talking about the last captive thylacine, or Tasmanian tiger, who was commonly referred to as Benjamin. He was the last of his kind, and he died in captivity at the Beaumaris Zoo, Hobart, Tasmania, 80 years ago. Today, on the 30th of November, the world will mourn his extinction. The Remembrance Day for Lost Species is a chance to remember and learn about animals which have faded into memory. Julia is a graphic designer from the small town of Mullaney, Queensland, and she has organised a remembrance ritual in the thylacine's honour.
It's important just to remember and to honour the species that have gone.
More and more species become extinct every year, and Australia is home to several animals which could soon face the same fate as the thylacine. Luckily, conservationists and communities are fighting to make sure this isn't the case.
My name's Henry Cook. I'm a research officer at ANU. I'm an ecologist. I'm a wildlife photographer. Do a whole lot of stuff. The orange-bellied parrot is the world's most endangered bird, and it became clear that this might be their last season.
Each year, these birds fly from the southern coastline of Australia into the rugged salt marsh of the Tasmanian southwest in order to breed. This makes them one of the only two migratory parrots in the world.
They're actually a really stunning little bird. The males are more or less about the size of a small green apple, about the same colour as well, and they've got this very vivid sort of yellowy-orange flame coming up their breast that comes from between their legs up onto their breast. And then they've got this electric blue little crown that runs between their eyes, and then they have these beautiful, the same colour, electric blue shoulders, like little epaulettes. So they're really striking little bird, and they're very spherical. They're not a leggy bird, you know.
This year, researchers from the Difficult Bird Research Group found out there was only 3 breeding females left in the wild, which were accompanied by 11 males. Such drastically low numbers means that these birds are in serious danger.
No more of the orange-bellied parrot. It's just the... just a horrific thought. And I've been lucky enough to see them in the wild. And I like the idea that maybe my little nephews would one day be able to see them in the wild as well. And just the thought of them going extinct, just... that's not something we should be happy with, the idea that we're just going to let them go. Not without a fight. Not without a real fight.
According to Dayan Stojanovic, a postdoctoral fellow with the Australian National University, the orange-bellied parrot has been in trouble for decades.
They've suffered a bit from habitat loss across their wintering range, but it's thought that the species was never terribly common anyway, and so I think an already kind of uncommon species, it's declined from habitat loss and has gotten to a small population. Once you get to very few individuals in your population, just the sheer fact that you are a small population actually makes you really vulnerable to things that go wrong. So at this population size of only 3 females remaining in the wild, a fire in the breeding range or a headwind on the Bass Strait could be enough to wipe out the remaining birds. So they're really at an extremely vulnerable pinch point in their population.
Although there is a small population of captive birds available, Dayan says that we need to focus on ensuring that the remaining wild population survives.
It's the wild birds that contribute the most to the returns from migration, because the wild birds are the fittest and have the best survival rates. So captive bred birds, they tend to be released early in the breeding season and they'll breed that season, but then they tend to never be seen again. The wild birds, that we want to focus on that group, because that'll effectively kind of retain the knowledge of where to go and where to fly to and where the best food is and where the best nests are and that kind of stuff.
In order to quickly access the funds they needed, the Difficult Bird Research Group launched a crowdfunding campaign that was able to raise over $140,000 in 8 days. Henry Cook was justifiably pleased with such a response from the public.
All sorts of amounts of money, from very small to very large. There was one young girl ran a lemonade stall, and her parents donated the money she'd raised. Another donor who wanted to be anonymous really liked what we're doing and has donated about $9,000 to the cause. I mean, it really captured the imagination of the wildlife-loving public, I guess.
Through the actions of these conservationists and the generosity of the public, the orange-bellied parrot has a chance at survival.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Poet Dylan Thomas ending that report by Joe Koning.